Federal managers understand the value in moving their agencies toward a more digital existence, but many of them need help in figuring out how to update the services their agencies provide. That's according to a new survey by the National Academy of Public Administration and ICF International. Help is coming. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now with details on how the White House plans to push agencies into the digital age. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so why are federal leaders struggling with making their agency's services more citizen-friendly? Haven't they been at this for 20 years?
You think so, don't you? I mean, you remember the under the Bush administration, what was the three pillars of Mark Forman's, you know, citizen-centric, user-friendly? I don't remember them now. See, that's how long it's been.
Well, I hate to tell you, I remember the George H.W. Bush administration, and it was service to the citizen. That's where that phrase got coined.
There you go. So it has been many years now. And this administration, the Obama administration, has been very focused on taking it one step further, moving into the digital world. But a survey of 500 federal managers, at least at a GS-13 level, by NAPA and ICF International, found broad and strong support for digital services and, of course, the use of mobile devices. But 65% of the respondents say they don't know if their agency even has a documented digital strategy or if it was even implemented. And that is hugely surprising, says Sally Selden, a professor of business and economics at Lynchburg College, a NAPA Academy fellow, and a former GAO auditor.
If you separate the sample into two groups, those who are involved with procurement and those who are not, for those individuals who are not, those federal leaders who are not involved in procurement, that percentage goes up to 75%. The question raised by one of my colleagues in the audience here was how many agencies have actually adopted digital strategies, have a formal, and there wasn't a clear response to that. So there's a lot of uncertainty with regards to what those strategies are and whether or not they're being implemented. Again, perhaps they're out there. Our survey doesn't really discern whether or not the strategies exist. What our survey demonstrates is that people are unaware whether they exist and whether they're being implemented.
That they don't know if they exist or if they're being implemented. The survey also found 66% didn't know if their agency is satisfied with the return on investment of their digital strategy, and 56% said they're not even aware if or how their agency measures it. Additionally, Tom, there's a lack of understanding, about 33%, so a third, about whether their employees or citizens or business customers are satisfied with how they're implementing digital strategy. So even though they've been at this for a long time, they still don't have all those pieces in place to really say, we are making a difference. Now, that NAPA ICF panel makes recommendations for each of their conclusions. There is something that agencies can do today. They're not making recommendations that need legislation or major policy changes. And we do have a full story, a link to that survey up right now on federalnewsradio.com.
You know, I heard an elected official once say that having leadership over a large group is like standing in a graveyard. You might be talking and talking and talking, but you're not sure anybody's hearing you. And this seems to be the case after all these years. So, Jason, what is OMB, what is the Office of Management and Budget, doing to help this situation?
Well, as we talked about just a little bit earlier, Tom, OMB has been spearheading the government's acceptance, the move to digital technologies. If you remember back in 2012, they released the digital government strategy that really got the discussion really started, a little momentum behind it. Over the last 3 years, they've been putting some other pieces in place, including most recently the U.S. Digital Service. And of course, General Services Administration put in place their 18F organization. At the same time, back in August, when the U.S. Digital Service group was announced, OMB also released two documents, the Tech FAR and the Digital Services Playbook. Beth Colbert is the Deputy Director for Management at OMB. She says OMB has to help agencies get the skills and capabilities to move to a digital world more quickly and improve the quality of those services. Now, to that end, Colbert says the updated Digital Services Playbook is coming very soon.
We've received 100 comments and proposed changes to the playbook, ranging from ways to improve the security of the site to making the playbook language more in plain English. Using open tools like GitHub, one that I now use myself, has helped to expand a whole new audience of citizen web developers, designers, and writers, people who are outside of the federal sphere but who can make meaningful contributions to strengthen our work. As one example, one of the commentators we heard from was a professional copy editor who just happened to find the playbook on GitHub and decided voluntarily to use her skill to make a small public service contribution. She's not a federal employee. She's not a contractor. She's an American citizen who wanted to help us create a playbook that's easier for everyone to understand. We've already incorporated many of her comments and those from others, and we plan to include more when we release the next version of the playbook later this month.
Nick Colbert says the other piece of this, is, as we talked about, is the TECFAR. She says OMB also will update that document later this spring with additional comments it's received over the last few months, also through the GitHub program. But even with these new and updated documents, agencies still say, according to the survey, they don't have the skill sets necessary to move quickly into the digital world. And even if the digital services group at OMB or 18F at GSA hired 1,000 people each, highly unlikely, let's be clear on that one, there's still going to be a huge need for certain people with specific skills across the government that just aren't going to be satisfied. Colbert says OMB is trying to tackle this problem in multiple ways.
What we saw, for example, when you can get some folks like the talented folks in Mikey Dickerson's USDS team or in 18F, is that a small number of people working with a larger number of people who are already here can actually transform those capabilities. It is explicitly part of their mission, not just to make improvements in the IT projects, but to help build the capabilities of the people that we're working with. That's, for example, one of the reasons that we've started to do this work with the VA, and to have a group of people inside the agency who are working day to day with their colleagues who want to be able to do something different but may not have had the skills to do it. So some of it is sort of the learning by doing model and sort of the train the trainer. You work with somebody great, you see a different way of doing things, you then can translate that to your team. That's one component. There's another component that we're working on in terms of actual training and capabilities. How do we bring some people in, get them trained up, increase their skills and awareness of what tools like Agile are and how they're applied, and have actually training programs both on the acquisition side and on the IT side?
Now, she says OMB is working with the CIO and the Chief Acquisition Officer Councils to develop these training programs and this entire workforce challenge, not just around Agile and DevOps, but the idea of understanding digital services within government is going to be a major part of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy's priorities over the next year.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is speaking with us this morning. Now, there are examples, Jason, of agencies that are doing this well. Which are they, and how are they able to have success?
I think one of the things that happens many times, Tom, is that the government gets this bad rap. Oh, well, they can't do digital services. They're so behind, you know, the Amazons of the world, the Googles of this world. But in effect, there are several examples of that agencies that are, I'll say they're on or at least near the cutting edge when it comes to digital. One example is the Social Security Administration for all their warts and challenges they have. But in fact, is the SSA has done a very good job of reaching citizens by releasing applications such as, you know, the My Social Security that lets citizens verify their income, check to see how much money they would receive when they retire, and answer other similar questions. I think the one agency that's probably leading the pack when you talk about government and digital services is probably the IRS. Peggy Sherry is the IRS Deputy Commissioner for Operations Support.
At the IRS, we don't really approach it as how do we have a digital strategy. Instead, it's really intended to be an enabler of conducting our mission, all right? So I think if agencies can look at it that way as opposed to an end in and of itself, I think it becomes a whole lot easier for them to be able to figure out how to incorporate that into their job. So what do I mean when I say that? Clearly, our main primary goal as a tax administration is to be able to get American taxpayers to pay their fair share of taxes, all right? When we research, what we find is, for the most part, taxpayers want to be compliant. They want to voluntarily comply with the tax administration system. So therefore, our job is to be able to make it as easy as possible for people to comply, to reduce the tax burden, and to really look at ways to be able to deliver that mission in a way that does increase our ROI. So what we do is we look at a digital strategy of moving more of our services from people-based or from bricks and mortar-based to actually allowing people to be able to move online.
Now, Sherry says the end state she mentioned means redesigning business processes with privacy people, cybersecurity experts, mission program people, human resources, and plenty of others in the room from the beginning. Now, we hear that a lot, but this is the culture change that has to happen because the focus is on what will the agency get the biggest return on investment from and not what's most exciting or what's hot in the, you know, what's the big buzzword at the moment. Now, Sherry says the IRS is breaking down those silos to talk about these issues.
We have actually an online services group that does nothing but really talk about, look at innovation. You know, how is Capital One, for instance, doing it? You know, how is the Social Security Administration doing it? Really going out there and looking at those digital best practices. And then you have the business at the table. At the end of the day, we're only doing this because of the customer experience, the taxpayer experience. And how do you ultimately have those groups together, including public affairs, to talk about the communications piece of it? That's really how the IRS approaches it. It's not really driven out of one office ever. Each one of those bring their technical expertise into the conversation, ultimately still all rallying around what that end state is that you're looking for.
Now, Sherry says the online services group is on the business side. She's clear about that. It does not answer to the technology side, and that is key to this. The IRS also is working with the SSA on ideas or best practices that they can share, as well as a common identity management authentication system. You know, use, you know, one username, one password, one way to authenticate yourself, go to different government services. Over the short term, the IRS is updating its strategic plan to include a more digital strategy. She says also in the near term, the IRS would like to make it easier for taxpayers to pay what they owe to the government, as well as sign up for things like installment plans, just do it right online. Sherry says over the long term, the IRS would like to have fewer personal touches with the taxpayer. Like, you know, let them correct their taxes online. They get a note, says, you got a problem? Oops, I forgot. I'll fix it. And they're done. No calling, no visiting. So I think that those are the future of where the IRS is going. And of course, Tom, we've talked about this many times. The IRS has a big budget challenge as well. And that's going to impact these efforts, especially when we talk about moving legacy and back-end systems into this digital environment.
Yeah, I think they still handle a lot of paper, even in this age, you know, relative to what they used to handle, it's way less. But relative to what everybody else has to touch, the IRS still is fairly paper-intensive. And, you know, Peggy Sherry must know that all of the banks nowadays, the major banks, if you have a check that you as an individual want to deposit, you don't even have to send the check. You take a picture of it with your smartphone now, and you can deposit a check that way.
I think this is what they're looking at. I mean, you heard her say the Digital Services Group is looking at best practices of Capital One, and I think the IRS recognizes that those changes are definitely happening in the consumer world, and how can they take those changes and incorporate them into their processes. Of course, the IRS, you know, a lot of times in government, they hold themselves up, rightly so, to higher degrees, higher standards, and that also adds a bit of complexity to moving into this digital world.
All right, interesting stuff. I'm going to look forward to seeing more of that study myself. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thank you for that update.
Always a pleasure.